If you'll open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. If you have a bulletin today, it would be helpful. If you do not, there's a very handsome guy named Robert back there, and Mike will be glad to give you a bulletin. So if you need one, please raise your hand. On the back side of the bulletin is what I'm going to speak on this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, please. Let's all stand. If you need a bulletin, just raise your hand, please. I appreciate all of you that prayed for me. I know some folks prayed for me while I was in India for the last couple of weeks. What would I say about India? Satish, this is what I have decided. If I ever wanted to live in India, it has to be Munnar. Tamil Nadu is not in the cards, friend. Munnar was cool, beautiful, green, and Tamil Nadu, where I taught, was hot, hotter, and hotter than hot. But I had a great time, and I appreciate Satish. Did a lot of legwork and was really a blessing to get me to the different places. I don't know if you know this. They don't really want Christians coming to India. The government is an exceptionally hostile government. Not state governments, the national government towards Christians. It's real simple. They don't want American Christian money there. They don't want white Christian missionaries. I don't know why, what we're going to do there. But they're afraid. So I had to go there not lying. I did not lie. I went there as a tourist, and I did tourist things. I spent a couple of days in Munnar, which is tea plantations, just unbelievably beautiful. And Satish, for you, in the city of Trichy, there's a place called, I don't know what it's called, Mountain Fort, Hill Fort. I mean, you see it every place. It stands up. For you, friend, I climbed from the bottom to the top of that thing, 200 or 300 steps with no shoes on. That was fun. So, but it was a great time. I had a great time and got to meet some really good people, and I'll probably show some videos next week when I am more in my right mind, okay? Now this morning I'm going to speak on, and it's amazing, how many songs dealt with forgiveness. I'm going to talk about forgiveness. My last sermon here was on forgiveness. This sermon is on a different facet. Friends, there are three pieces of forgiveness. Forgiveness is forgiveness, but there is the initial forgiveness, I'm going to talk about that this morning, that we receive from God because of Christ. That's what we'll talk about this morning. When I was here 3 weeks ago, I talked about the daily ongoing struggle we have with sin and the necessity of forgiveness. And I think I talked about elephants, and I think I talked about idols, and I think I dealt with some things that are very serious. And by the way, I'll never let you off of that, because Christians have to, by the grace of God, rid themselves of idols. And I'm not referring, Satish, to the idols I saw every place in India. By the way, it's a depressing place to see idolatry of that level. You see people feeding idols, milk, coconut milk, on and on. It's pretty sad. The third part of forgiveness is forgiven people forgiving. I'm not going to deal with that this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, it's in your bulletin, but we'll start in verse 3 because verse 3 is actually where this text begins. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, Old English, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That is the theme of the first 3 to verse 14. Then he starts to enumerate or explain what some of those blessings are that we have in Christ. He's going to use a little different language. So the blessings are found in Christ. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him, same concept, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. This morning, in whom? We're back to in Christ again. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. I'm going to stop there for time. I'm going to speak only on this verse. I will mention a few other verses. We're going to talk about the first facet or the first face of forgiveness. So friends, look at me. The first step for becoming a Christian is receiving this forgiveness in Christ. That's how a person gets saved. That is the first step. The song we just sang by Chris Anderson, wow, it is really describing that process from Christ's perspective and us approaching God. I'm going to talk about the first face or facet of forgiveness this morning. Father, help me. Certainly, I'm not at my peak performance mood. Yes, I'm awake. Yes, I'm focused. Yes, I have thought about, I preach this in India. Yes, this text consumes me, but I'm a man. I'll never be anything other than a man. One day I'll be glorified man with a glorified body in your presence, but now I am just flesh and blood. Lord, I can only do so much in people's lives. We have great ways of resisting the truth. For those in this room that are not yet saved, my desire, my heart's desire is for them to come to Christ today, because this is the very first piece of forgiveness, the first aspect, the first face, the place we all begin. And then there's no better news than this news. Help me this morning, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We come to church this morning in a collision of ideas. Unless you've been sleeping for the last week or two, you recognize that there's some deep problems in the world. Yes? You also recognize there's deep problems in this country, centered primarily in Hollywood and sadly our universities, which many of them cannot, look at me, can no longer call something right or wrong. They are so compromised, and by the way, I'm going to use the language, with neo-Marxism that divides everybody up into little groups. And of course, if you happen to be in the favored group, you are the oppressed. And nothing you could ever do would be wrong. And we saw that with people unwilling to condemn the murder of 1,200 people. By the way, friends, as a Christian, I don't really care about your ism. God makes right and wrong, not me. And right is always right. Truth is always truth. Good is always good. Evil is always evil. Untruth is always untruth. Wrong is always wrong. In any country, any place, at any time. We don't play the neo-Marxism game of our whole culture today, which divides everybody up into little isms, you know, racism, sexism, genderism, blah, 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 ism. Are you with me? That's our country, which then removes the ability to condemn, look at me, anything, even murdering babies. All right. Now, how does that affect you? Well, this is how it affects you in two ways. Some of this comes out of the 1960s, the God is dead movement, which as a country we have accepted. If there is a God, he just makes me feel good. But many years ago, people started to recognize, listen, if there is no God, the problem is we still do wrong. And if we do wrong, we feel guilty. And we feel guilty, and then we feel shame, and then we have fear, but there is no God to forgive. So we're caught in the trap of feeling guilty, being shamed, and being afraid, and there's no way to resolve the problem according to our culture. Now, let's step into your life, because we got young people in college right now. You're going to hear these lies every day of your life. We now live in the cancel culture. Look at me in the eyes. You can be canceled, but can you ever be forgiven? Well, this morning I'm going to speak on some very simple things. This isn't going to be philosophical. Some of you, I lost you at the first sentence. I don't know if we're not awake in America anymore. We don't know what's going on in universities. We don't know what's going on in the media, where nothing is wrong except if you say something is wrong. Then you're in trouble. Ephesians 1:7 starts by dealing with this subject of our sins or our transgressions. Paul says this is one of the great blessings we have because of Christ, in whom we have redemption. I'll mention in a moment, redemption in this text means the paying of a price. It's very specific. This would be paying of a price, frankly, in the ancient Greco-Roman world, to buy a slave. So there's a price that has been paid. He says we have this redemption through his blood. And then he goes on and says, well, what do we mean by redemption? What are we talking about? He says what we're discussing is the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I want to say five simple things. You can write these in your notes if you prefer. The first statement is simply this: there is forgiveness. My friends, it's not only canceling people because you're on the wrong side. You forgot to call somebody their correct pronoun. And you say, well, that's a joke. Can I ask you a question? Where do you work? This is all through our country. This is in government. This is in universities. It's to some degree lesser maybe in the military. But let me say this, friend, it's every place. So you can be canceled. But the Bible says, no, there is such a thing as forgiveness. I'm glad he's here today. There's a handsome young man sitting right back here. You have a baby, is that right? Can you give me that smile the first time you saw that baby? Do you remember? By the way, look at me in the eyes. When I think about forgiveness, this is no joke. This is all in India. I'm thinking about this sermon, and I'm thinking about Clovis. When you came to church that Sunday morning, that smile was this big. It was like, we have a baby. Now, I don't know if you still have that smile when that baby keeps you up all night, but you did have that smile. Friends, when I read this, there's not only being canceled, there's not only condemnation, there's not only guilt, there's not only all of that, but there is forgiveness. And it gives me, I can't do Clovis a smile, but it just makes me smile, because in the real world where there is a God that believes in right and wrong, good and evil, truth and error, there's forgiveness. You see, sin. Have you ever done this? Take your pen, stick it in the pocket. I'm not going to do this because my wife will shoot me. And you come home. You come home. And what do you have in the corner of that pocket? You have a big, nice, beautiful circle. And the first thing you want to know is? No, you know how it got there. You were stupid. You want to know, will it come out? Will anything get it out? And the answer is, yes, get a new shirt. But friend, the good news, you say sin. We all sin. There are no exceptions. You see, as opposed to all of the neo-Marxism that chops people up in little groups of mutual hatred, in the real world where God has created this world, We are all sinners, and sin stains us. And by the way, I have come home with those beautiful blue marks. Jenny, what happened? What, do you ever get them out? The answer is? Yes. The answer is it's no. You get a new shirt. I can still remember we were having, and it's Pastor Kohak's fault, we were having a nice meal over Nick's door here for Brian and Stacy Steinbach. Remember we bought a bunch of food down at, what's the name of that place? El Rey de Pollo, I think. Is that the name of it? Got chicken, got French fries, got all the food. And I still remember I had my white shirt on and my big stomach, took my coat off, eating food. I was so careful that I didn't get anything on my white shirt. I picked up a piece of chicken, and the piece, big old piece of chicken slipped off of my fork, landed right in the juice, and Presbyterian baptized the front of my shirt. And my first thought was, what will take it out? So friends, we sing a song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. My friend, the good news is, in the midst of a cancel culture and being canceled because, you know, you had the audacity to think, that's a woman, not a man. How dare you? But we got a serious problem. It's called sin. Look at me, friend. What washes that away? You know what takes ink out of a white shirt? Nothing. What takes sin from you? That's the question. So Paul is beginning by saying, you know, there is such a thing as forgiveness. And I want to go back to my buddy Clovis's smile. That makes me smile. Because I not only sin, I sin a lot. And I better hope there's something that can remove the stain of sin from the life of Ralph Warren. There is forgiveness. Look back at the text. It's in your bulletin or your Bibles, whichever. The second point, and by the way, the first line is implied in the next four points. There is forgiveness, there is forgiveness, and then we go to the next concept. Why is there forgiveness? Well, there is forgiveness in the text because of what? Because of Christ. And Christ alone, friend. He says, in whom, that means in Christ, we have this redemption. Through, hear it, his blood. It's in him, it's his blood. And the last line says, according to the riches of his grace. It is forgiveness because of Christ. Now, friends, you're at a Baptist church this morning. We are a Baptist church, proud of that. But hear me, you are not forgiven because you show up in a Baptist church. A Baptist church doesn't forgive you. A Baptist church means we believe the gospel, Baptist distinctives, we organize and practice as Baptist Christians, but a church doesn't forgive you. So you say, Pastor Warren, how in the world, why are we forgiven? How are we forgiven? How does this work? It's not because you show up here. The place I went in Trichy. Satish, I don't know if you know what it is. I have pictures of it. I'll probably show next week. I thought it was an actual fortress. It used to be. I'm not trying to be silly, not trying to put any person down. It is now, and I got to be specific, Hindu, are you listening? Temples. From top, from the bottom to the top. And I went there because I thought it had something to do with a fortress in the past, and it's pretty unique because Tamil Nadu around Trichy is flat. And then there's this big, huge rock that steps out of the ground. And friend, I don't know how many steps. I think it was 252. All I know is you walk in there, and the first thing you see is idolatry. The second thing you see, idolatry. The third thing you see is idolatry. And it's of a variety where people go there, pay money, and some kind of guy in religious garb, I don't know what they're called, takes coconut milk and feeds the god? Oh, wait a minute, that's not all. Elephants. We walked towards the bottom. We're going up. We walked into a room and there's an elephant. I thought, oh, this is neat. There's an elephant here. You pay the guy money and the elephant's trunk blesses you. It's part of the ritual. I want to say this to you. No criticism of anybody. I want you to be very clear. Forgiveness doesn't come from a building. It doesn't come from a religion. It doesn't come from being a Baptist. It doesn't come from being a Catholic. Forgiveness comes because of Christ and Him alone. There is no other forgiveness. So when I see Clovis smile looking at his baby, and I have, you know, when he gets that smile, I get that smile because his smile makes me happy. But I think about the smile to realize the stain of sin. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yes, there's forgiveness. Forgiveness because of Christ. What Christ did on the cross, that is where forgiveness is found. I don't need to go any further with that. It's not a church. It's not a religion of any kind. Look at me. It's not, I'll do better next week. It's not, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to be a... How many people have said this to me? Pastor, I'm going to be better. That doesn't forgive you. Friends, there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness because of Christ. Years ago, when I was in lab school in another life, we had to stain blood with a certain stain. I didn't know what the stain was, and boy, for whatever reason, my mind doesn't go back 45 years ago and remember the name of it anymore. But the stain, I do remember this. You would take blood, put it on a slide, dry the slide, and send it through a little stainer that at the end of this, you could look at the blood and tell what the cells were. The problem was that stain, if it got on your hands, I still remember the professor saying, if you get this on your hands, I have a solution. He says it's a special tincture. The tincture of time. Your skin cells will wear off and you'll no longer be stained by that stain. Friends, here's the good news. Every person in this room has sinned. We are all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, there is none righteous, no, not. We know this. What takes away the sin? How are we forgiven? Yes, smile. There is forgiveness. Forgiveness because of Christ. Number three, please. Number three. If you go back to the text, let's get more specific. I say this. Forgiveness specifically because of what Christ did. Christ did something for you and for me. So it's not just generically the name Jesus or the name Christ, or if you know that Christ is Christos, the Messiah. It's not religion in a name. It's not calling Jesus the right name. It's specifically in or because of what Christ did for us. What did he do for us? Verse 7. In whom we have, first of all, the word is redemption. The paying of a price. That's what Christ did. He paid the price. And by the way, what was the price? He tells us through his blood. Not blood like I get blood drawn and then that saves people. Not, in fact, as I was in the airport and caught my hand on something and a couple of ladies says, you're bleeding. And man, I had like two puncture holes in my hand. And I would, no. If Jesus bled, that doesn't save anybody. Through his blood means this. On the cross, he willingly went to the cross. He willingly gave up his life. He willingly allowed perverted humans like us to stab him, beat him, mock him. He willingly shed his blood. He willingly gave up his life. He gave his life in our place. That's it. So it's not just because of a name, Jesus. like we did worship all these other names, now it's just Jesus. No, it's what he did for us. He paid a price, the price of sin. He paid that price. And what was it? His own life, his own blood. It's either we suffer for them or he did. And my friends, he suffered for it. So it's forgiveness because specifically of what Christ did. But he goes on to say, read with me. It's in whom we have redemption, the paying of a price. Through his blood, that was the price. That's where it is. Galatians 3:13. Would you turn there if you have a Bible? Galatians 3:13. It uses a different word. It's a totally different word, though it has the same meaning. Galatians 3:13 says this: Christ has redeemed us. This is ex agorazo, which means he not only paid a price, that's in Ephesians 1:7, but he paid a price with the idea of releasing us from our bondage and the stain of sin. He bought us out of our enslavement to sin. Christ hath redeemed us. But how so? From the curse of the law. How did he redeem us from the curse of the law? Having been made a curse for us. Friend, think Christ on the cross. At the very darkest hours, all of a sudden at noon, the lights went out. It became pitch black. At 3 p.m., the ninth hour, Jesus cried in several cries, but one of them was, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that moment, Christ became a curse for you. So you weren't cursed by your own sins. How are we forgiven? Not because of us. Listen, not because you say, I'm going to do better, Pastor Warren, or I'm going to try harder, or I'm going to really do good. No. We are forgiven. Yes, smile. Think of Clovis's smile. But there is forgiveness because of Christ, because of what Christ did. He paid a price. He became sin for us. He took upon us the curse of God for our sins. He stood in our place. His robes were put on us and our filthy righteousness was put on him. He suffered in our place. That's how we find forgiveness. That's how we find redemption. This is the only way to find redemption. There is forgiveness. Forgiveness because of Christ. Forgiveness because specifically what Christ did. And it's obvious. Look back at the text, please. Number 4. My friend, if you miss this, this is part of the evangelical faith. This is the gospel. Notice carefully what Paul says. In whom, look at the next two words. We have. Everybody look at me. Everybody look at me. This is a big difference. Many kinds of religion promise, look at me, maybe forgiveness, maybe someday, maybe some way out in the future. So now, from now until then, you really don't know. You don't really know, do I have this, not have this? Actually, within many religions, they actually say you do not have it. You're on trial. So for the rest of your life, you're on trial. You need to do good, do better, do harder, work harder, give more, go more, all of this. And kind of maybe somewhere way out there in the future, maybe, you know, we'll get in the balance and all of your good works will kind of be compared. Look at me, friend. If your good works are balanced out by your bad works, here's your good works. There is no comparison. You are stained with sin and you have nothing to get to do with it. But in Christ, here it is. There is forgiveness. Because of Christ. Because of what Christ did for us. Fourthly, in your notes, And this is the real good news. Forgiveness right now. Paul says you can have this. And in Christ, we do have this right now. Look at me, friend. God doesn't say, check is in the mail. No, he says, you have it right now. Because of what Christ did, look at me. The moment you come to Christ, the moment you come to the Father, the moment you come understanding your sinfulness, understanding you have no hope, understanding you have no hope except through Christ, understanding that Christ died in your place, that Christ paid a price. That price was his blood. That price was him becoming the curse for us, so we don't have to suffer from the curse. The moment you come to Christ, right then, you have forgiveness. You don't wait for forgiveness out in the future and you hope maybe, somehow, some way, maybe you will be forgiven. No, you experience the absolute forgiveness of sins right now, right here. You have it. Can I ask you a question? Are you forgiven? Can I ask you a question? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Do you grasp what you have in Christ? How can you not do what Clovis does when he sees his lovely child? I can't do it like, I mean, I just, Clovis, I'm sorry. Your smile has captivated me. Bradley has this Bradley smile. Linda, you know what I missed the most when I was gone? Your son's smile. When Bradley smiles, it lights up the whole world. Can I say, I wish I had that smile because that's what Christ has done for us. And friend, we have it not somewhere, someplace, somehow. We have it right now, right here. Wow. I'm not hoping for it. I'm not hoping that it happens. I have it now. So if I was to take off my coat, this is not true, and you saw this huge stain and you say, what are you going to do to get rid of that stain? And the idea is nothing. You had to throw the shirt away. Look at me. If you could see me, what are you going to do? You're stained by sin. What are you going to do, Pastor Warren? Throw myself away? No, but there's good news. There's forgiveness. Forgiveness because of Christ. Forgiveness because of what Christ did. Forgiveness right now. The moment I come to Christ, at that moment, all of my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. By the way, I've heard people say, Jesus can't forgive you for future sins. Look me in the eyes. Every sin you've committed was future to when Jesus died on the cross. That's dumb. He forgives us all of our sins. By the way, he takes the curse of all of mankind, and specifically your sins and mine, and upon him they rest, friend. Wow. There is forgiveness. Forgiveness because of Christ, not because of a church, denomination, location. Forgiveness specifically because of what Christ did for us. Fourthly, forgiveness right now. Now we come to my conclusion. Are you ready for it? Read the verse with me, would you? Have you memorized it? In whom we have redemption through his blood. What is that paying? What price was paid? His life, his death, his shed blood. All of that is implied. So in whom we have redemption through his blood. Four concepts. There is forgiveness. Forgiveness because of Christ. In whom? His blood, his grace. Forgiveness specifically because of what he did. He paid a price. He shed his blood. He stood in our place. Forgiveness right now. We have it, but there's that fifth concept. Forgiveness. Well, let's read the verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to what? All right, Jim, I got a question for you. You have grandchildren. Now, all of your grandchildren are perfect?
Yes, sir.
Well, I know one isn't right here. She thinks she is. Jim, I know that you're, you know, you've served the Navy, you've served our government. Do you ever think about what would happen if a great crisis happened in your family and you didn't have enough money to do the job? Has you ever thought about that? You know, unless your name is Bill Gates or something, you might run into a situation where you just can't bail your own children or grandchildren. You know, my dad said this. He said, when you kids were home, I was comfortable. When you moved away, he said, you could get in trouble that I didn't have the money to get you out of. I got a question for you. How bad are your sins? You ever think maybe they're so bad that even God can't forgive them? Did you read this verse? In whom we have redemption through his blood. What is it? The forgiveness of sins according to? I'm going to tell you a story. By the way, number five is this. Maybe I've said it, maybe I haven't, maybe I've forgotten I've said it. It's forgiveness without limits. It isn't like you look out there and you say, well, yeah, you know, there's Christy. She hadn't sinned real bad. Pam hadn't sinned real bad. Judy hadn't sinned real bad, but then there's Robert. Whoa, I don't know if God can forgive all that sin. And then there's Mike Rock. I mean, Do you ever think maybe God doesn't have enough to forgive you? So I'm going to tell you a story. This isn't a make-believe story. This happened to me. Years ago, my first trips out of the country in this church, were to Venezuela, for you old-timers. Chavez had taken over the communist dictator in Venezuela. Things were bad, but for 3 years, I could still go to Venezuela. 3 or 4 years, I went to Venezuela to teach. But it was a communist dictator running the country, so they had a trick. Here was a trick. You paid money to go, you paid for your flight. Philippines used to do this, Dada. But when you left the country, you had to pay a little. Now, in the Philippines, that tax used to be like $15 or something. Is that what it was? Do you remember? It wasn't much. Sometimes you'd have to pay from the local places, too. You still do, I think. Sometimes you, but it's a little bit, you know, $5 or something. Well, the problem was Chavez was a dictator. Did everybody hear that? You never knew. He could just simply decide this week, everybody has to pay X amount of money. I still remember. Now, by the way, this was the days before cell phones. I'm in Venezuela. I fly from one side of Venezuela to Caracas, or as they would say, Caracas. I flew into Caracas. I went from the local airport, the national airport, to the international. I get there, and when I get there, you can feel it in the air. Everybody is panicking. And I'm like, you say why? Chavez had just charged a tax. It was like $125. Now, the problem was credit card wouldn't work. You had to have American dinero. American money to get out of Dodge. And folks, there was a guy coming from person to person to person begging, I need money. I don't have enough money to get out of here. And I'm in the back of the line thinking, are you guys listening? This is me. I'm thinking, number one, I don't have a way of contacting my missionaries on the other side of the country. Number two, I don't have any money. Number three, I can't call home. Number four, I'm going to be that guy begging for money in a minute. And the guy's walking around looking for money. And I never thought about this. And I never thought that I have now, most countries, I have a cell phone. By the way, Bambi, you got me a nice plan for my cell phone in India. And it worked wonderfully in New Delhi. And didn't work in a single other place. But Satish got me a cell phone that worked in other places. Thank you very much. I'm in Venezuela. I can't call. Look, if I'm there, I'm stuck. I can't call home. I can't call our missionaries. I'm stuck in the airport. I still remember the line starts to move. I finally get to friends. I hand them that ticket, and I'm thinking. And the person looks at the ticket and says, see this? Your price includes the exit tax. I'm going home. Can I tell you something? Friend, I'm not making light of sin. No matter who you are, no matter how bad your sin is, according to the riches of His grace. Can I say this, Jim? I know it'll never happen to you, but I know there's a fear in me. What if something happened and I just don't have the money to take care of that? You don't have to worry. Jesus is taking care of the ticket's clear from here to heaven. Amen. It's all paid. It's paid for by Jesus. And listen, you say, well, what if I sin some more? You can't sin enough for Him not to have paid for your sin, according to the riches of His grace. So this morning, here's my message. There is forgiveness, friend. Forgiveness because of Christ. Forgiveness specifically because of what Christ did on the cross for us. It's not a name, it's not religion, it's not a person. It's the Son of God coming, living a sinless life, giving His life on the cross, shedding His blood, paying the price, standing in our stead. It's forgiveness that we can have right now because of Christ. And friends, it's forgiveness without limits. Can you imagine? Look at me. You do know one day you're going to die. And you got your ticket. And you're thinking, and by the way, I don't know if you know this, but Air India, according to the place you are on the plane, you get a ticket. If you're in first class, you have one color. If you're in business, you have another color. If you're me, you have the bottom color. And you're looking at your ticket and you're thinking, I got the bad color. Is it going to work? There's only one color, the blood of Christ. It's all red, friend. And guess what? That ticket, I hate to say ticket because it's not a ticket. It's a relationship. My friend, all sins are forgiven. Here's the sermon this morning. Friend, if you're here, you need to start here. You start with coming to Christ, trusting Christ alone, not religion, not what you do, not being good, not being better, not doing better, all of that dumb language. You come to Christ alone. Forgiveness is found in Him because of what He has already done for you. It is, you can receive it right now, and friend, it's without limits. It's according to the riches of His grace. Every time I go on a vacation, but every time I go to India or the Philippines, I have to check my money to make sure I have money to the last day I'm there. Do you realize you never have to worry about Christ? It's more than enough. Can I say this? And that makes me smile. Father, thank You for this beautiful text. Thank You for what we have in Christ. Yes, we continue to struggle with sin in this life. We still live in a fallen world, and we still have those tendencies, as Romans 7 says. Those struggles, as Galatians 5 says. There is a war that goes on within us, and it's a continual struggle, but not forgiveness. That was paid for once and for all and forever at the cross. And we can have it right now. And what has been paid for is more than enough to wash away all of our sins. Frankly, the death of Jesus is great enough to wash away the sins of 100 worlds. Because He is infinite. He is very God of very gods, and His death has infinite value. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Seal these truths to our hearts on this day, in Jesus' name.